Don't you know two wrongs don't equal right? They're going to be lost, and so are you if you keep practicing sin. Well, everybody is doing it. And most of the people are going to go to hellfire. Am I really making it plain? Jesus said so. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If you follow the crowd, you're going to hell anyway. Follow me now, friends. I'm back to this king of Israel, the first king of Israel, Saul. Saul, the son of Kish, the first king of Israel. You know, God says to you and me, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's found in Hebrews 3, verse 13. Sin is deceitful. Now, you think you can be clever and practice it, but it's going to deceive you, brother, sister. Did you hear me? It kind of reminds me of this man who was in the circus. And he had a spectacular act. He would go in, and there was a tiger. There he was with bars. He would walk in very slowly as he would walk to the tiger. He would open his mouth real wide. Then he would get close to the tiger, put his head in the tiger's mouth, and then slowly pull it out. Naturally, such a fool-hearted stunt would draw a crowd. But they said, don't you worry, he'll catch it someday. And their predictions came true. In a small town in Pennsylvania, there he was performing. He put his head in the tiger's mouth. He'd been doing it for years. But something went wrong. The tiger's jaws came down on his head, and they shot the tiger, but before they could kill him, the man lay there, a corpse. Friends, listen. The sin someday that you think you can overcome will overcome you. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Proverbs 5, verse 22. You can't play with sin, it's deceitful. So if God's Holy Spirit is convicting you, I don't care what that sin is, you'd better confess and turn from it tonight. Follow me, friends. Showing you how deceptive it was. Notice verse 13 of 1 Samuel 15. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, God had told him to slay everything, and he tells him that he's performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Can't you see that we've obeyed God? Well, we've killed everybody except the king, and then we've killed all of the animals. We've killed all the beasts. We're just going to offer them up to the Lord, and then that will be done. I want you to notice the response of Samuel to this. Verses 22 and 3. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. The first king of Israel, who was inundated, who was filled with God's Holy Spirit, and even had the gift of prophecy, finally clung to his own way until he lost the kingdom. No longer was he king of Israel. Am I making it plain? That isn't all they lost. For chapter 16, verse 14 says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Did you hear what I said? This destroys that doctrine, once in grace, always in grace, or this eternal security doctrine that's going on today. Here is a man who had been filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now we read, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Am I really making it plain? So, brother, sister, hold fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Friends, you need Jesus. You need life eternal. While the Holy Spirit is convicting of sin, yield. I'm not through. Samuel loved Saul. But you know, I don't care how long we live in this world, someday we've got to die. And the Bible says, and Samuel died. And all the Israelites gathered themselves together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to Paran. That's found, friends, in 1 Samuel 25, verse 1. I just want you to get that he's dead now. Am I making it plain? Well, you know, sometime in life, as I read to you, you're going to need God. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. But I will not answer. Well, you see, friends, the Philistines made war against Israel. And King Saul needed someone for guidance. His best friend Samuel was dead. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, either by dreams. Did you get that? He shut up every avenue now. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. You see, the priest used to wear what they call the Urim and Thummim over the ephod, and you know, over the breastplate and the ephod there. One represented light, and the other represented perfection. Whenever the nation was in a turmoil, whenever they needed divine counsel from God, they always brought the ephod out because it had on it the Urim and Thummim. So God even wouldn't answer that way. Every avenue of approach was closed. And Samuel said unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman at night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then lest thou snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Now she didn't know who Saul, King Saul, was because he was disguised. He changed his garment. He wasn't there in his royal garb, so she didn't know who he was. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice and spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. How did she know this? Because, friends, this lady was a spiritus medium. And spiritus mediums are demon-possessed. And the angel, the wicked angel that was going to play the role of Samuel, informed her. Am I making it plain? Now, I want you to know that if God closed up every avenue of approach by dreams and by Urim and by prophets, Samuel was one of God's prophets, and you know it wasn't Samuel coming back and talking to him. Am I making it plain? Now, I'm going to give you many evidences why it wasn't Samuel.